Okay, so he says like this. It's in Tainus Hayam and Beis in the Rashvitz Daf Samach Zayin. Omole Rav Yitzchak Rav Nachman. Hochi Om Rav Yochanan. Okay. All right, I think he says different gear cells. But anyway. Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis. He said Yaakov Avinu did not die. Omale bichti saf dua saftia vichantua chantia vikavrua kavria. So he said, was it for nothing? Kdi. Is it for nothing that they gave him the hesped and embalmed him and buried him? Right? If he wasn't dead.
It certainly was after that.
Omale mikra ani darish. He says, I have a pasuk. Yeah, so it's from this week's Haftarah. Yirmiyahu Lamed Yud. Ki itcha ni Naum Hashem lehoshiecha. If I'm with you. Not wrong one, sorry.
Yud.
Viato altira avdi Yaakov. Naum Hashem. Vialtechas Yisrael. So don't be afraid avdi Yaakov. And don't fear. Yisrael shouldn't fear. Ki hinini Moshiach ha-meirachok. I'll save you from meirachok, from a distance. Ve'ezzarach ha-meiretz shivyon. And your children from their captive, from the land of their captive. Vishov Yaakov v'shokat v'shanan ve'ein macharid. So, what's the pasuk? So he says, Makish hu Lizaro. So the Pasuk is equating Yaakov and his children. Altira avdi Yaakov, right? Kihine Moshiacho, Viazaracho. Ma Zaro b'chayim, afu b'chayim. So just like his children are alive, so too he is alive. Okay.
I think it's actually different from the Haftarah. It's a very similar pasuk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's the way.
Okay, David says it's not the Haftarah. But really, Chris, it's funny. I just noticed it has very similar wording.
These two pasukim together look very much like the pasuk later on in Vav pasuk Chavches.
So why didn't they use that pasuk? Mem Vav Chavches.
It starts and ends the same way.
Oh, Ata Al Tira Avdi Yaakov. Ah. Oh, I see, right. That's the part. Right, but it doesn't say Zaracha.
Right.
I see. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. All right. Oh, and the pasuk before has, Chav Zayin, you mean?
Oh, yeah, Chav Zayin. Yes, true.
V'at al tirav di Yaakov, yateichas Yisrael. Wow, it's almost exactly the same. It's just missing Nu'um Hashem. Ki hinni Moshiach ha-meirachok, v'yasaracha meiretz shivyom. It's exactly the same. No?
Yeah, it's the same without Nu'um Hashem.
Vishav Yaakov, Vishaka Vishashanan, Vain Macharid. Alright, so I don't feel as bad now. Okay, she's like this. Vida, Ki Rabu Hamikroos, Shemechanim Zera Avos, B'Shem Avos. So there are a lot of psukim that use the term of. That they give a kinoy, a nickname, for the Zera Avos in the name of the Avos. There's nothing new about that. Like it says, V'ata Yisrael Avdi Yaakov Asher B'charticha. V'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Lekecha Shol Me'emoch. A lot of times it uses the word Yisrael to mean the whole of Klal Yisrael. So what is new over here? He says, Avokan this Or HaChacham Ba'amro Kihinni Moshiach HaMirachok V'es Zarach HaMe'eretz Shivyam. So he says, you see that when it says Yira Bibirur, Shena Kavana Khan Bomro Avdi Yaakov, Shehu Zera Yaakov. Okay. Achash Hosef Vioma Achra Vies Zara Chamer Shivyam. In other words, just the Pasuk that would say Viata Altira Avdi Yaakov, Nu'um Hashem, wouldn't that's common that it could refer to Klal Yisrael. nothing unusual about calling all of Klal Yisrael by the name of Yaakov or something like that. But that's no, that wouldn't be a raya, just to say that. That is, that he's talking to Yaakov. Because that's a kinoi for the whole Am is called that. It could be called Yaakov. But because it says in the end, V'es Zaracha, that shows that the original Yaakov was not talking about Klal Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about Yaakov himself. Okay. V'yesh b'divrei Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yitzchak sod. So there's a sod. V'da, ki ma sheheshiv Rabbi Yitzchak, mikra ani darish, lo lahamid devarav shel Rabbi Yochanan al tzad kavonas Rav Nachman, al tzad kavonas Rav Nachman heshiv kain. Okay, in other words, he clears it up a little bit in the footnote. Ein kavanosav mashe hevi aposek lefarish zivir Rav Yochanan kifi shehevino Rav Nachman shegufo lo meis. In other words, to go back to the dialogue for a second. So it says, Rav Yitzchok said to Rav Nachman that Rav Yochanan said Yaakov Avinu didn't die. Okay, so now Rav Nachman asked Rav Yitzchok, "What do you mean he didn't die? They did all this. They buried him and so forth." So he said, "I have a pasuk." So the Rashba is explaining when he said, "I have a pasuk." It wasn't to answer the question that he asked. It wasn't really to answer him in the way of his asking. Velomar, and to say, Shal hamikra yasomech lidrosh mimenu ki Yaakov ba'atzmo lo meis. In other words, Rav Nachman's question was, how could you say he physically didn't die? It's obvious that he died. They were maspid, they embalmed him, they buried him. So physically, his guf definitely died. So when Rav Yitzchak says, "I have a pasuk," he wasn't trying to prove to him. He wasn't saying, "Well, I have a pasuk that proves that he didn't die." He wasn't trying to answer his question in terms of the sense that he had said that his body that he didn't physically die. Because Rav Nachman is definitely right. That's a fact. We know that to be a fact. Bevadai be'emes. V'heyach efshar sesom Rav Yochanan Rav Yitzchak al medrash remez echad ne'alam shebemikra yosem imash shehaya somech al mikros giluyim nivu'orim. Okay, again. So he says, it's not possible, it just doesn't make any sense that he's going to disprove open psukim, the mashmaos of open psukim, with a remez in a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Zemi mashe haseichel doche umarchak lisofik. So the mind is just, will not accept something like that. It's impossible. It's an impossibility to say something like that. Rak Rav Yitzchak kach heshivo. His answer was different. He said like this: Lo al misas gufo ani omer. In other words, it says you're right. You're asking me, bringing me psukim from Bereishis that he died. I am not saying that he didn't die physically. Ach mikra ani dorish. I have a drasha. Ma zaro b'chayim, af hu b'chayim. Just like his children are alive, so too he is alive. The Oz Haven Rav Nachman Romze Sodo v'kibol mimenu v'shasa. And then Rav Nachman understood the hint of his sod from the pasuk. He was hinting at some sod. He accepted it and he was quiet. Okay. So what is the hint? What is the sod? What is a sod? So he tries to elaborate now. V'gam nigleyu. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to reveal it. Okay. Kishara avos. Yeah. Because plain shot is, what do you say someone doesn't? What plain shot is someone, they didn't die. So what do you say? He didn't die. Derech Marshall, you could say. I mean, people say it every funeral. People say that, no? but what's difficult over here is how is he different than saying it about anybody? Avram, Yitzchak, I mean, Of course, we all know there's an idea, derech moshel, you say that a person lives on, in a certain sense, you know, through their teachings, right? It's like we feel their effects. Many, many ways you can say that someone didn't die. But what's difficult over here is what's significant about Yaakov, above all the other tzaddikim that that lived. Yeah, so he tries to explain a little bit. Yeah, this is like this. Kishara avos haya pesoles bizarum, or pesulim. The other avos had chaff in their progeny, right? Like Avram had the Yishmael. Until Yaakov, it wasn't purified. The progenies were not purified. Ad Yaakov. And their children were not all capable of clinging to life and to accept the Torah, which is the source of life, until Yaakov. Okay, so yeah, so you're saying two things. What? They weren't all the other avos had. Avram had Yishmael, and Yitzchak had Esav. So their children weren't completely capable, weren't completely free of some sort of a soul. And until Yaakov, they were all capable of embracing life, chayim. Chayim meaning Torah. Okay. Shea Torah mizukekes shivosayim. Okay. It's purified seven times. All right, so Ka'amro, Imros Hashem, Imros Tehoros, Kesef Tzaraf Ba'olil, La'eretz Mezukak Shivosayim. So, okay, so it's a pasuk about Torah, referring to Torah. It's purified, over and over again. V'al kein, lo hayasa ru'uya linosein rak lezera Yaakov, shoya Mezukak Sheva Zikukim. It wasn't fitting, it was only fitting to give to the children of Yaakov the Torah, to give it to them, that they were the pure, they were completely free of dross. V'hu haya Adam mezukak b'li pesoles. So now it comes out that Yaakov, as an individual, had no pesoles. He didn't have any chaff, so to speak, in his era. Ki Adam Rishon lo nizdakek zaro rak b'sheis. Adam Rishon was only, his one child that was pure was Sheis. And Sheis had Noach, and Noach had Shem, and Shem had Avram. Avram Yitzchok, and Yitzchok Yaakov. But Yaakov, haya mezukak v'kol zaro ito kulo zera emas. Vehu omro vanochi notaticha sorek kulo zer emes. Vehu zaro shel Yaakov, shu ish emes. Okay. Omro titin emes li Yaakov. Yeah. Vial kein ha yoroi li hidobek be emes u be chayim. Vehi ha Torah ha emes va chayim. So therefore what? He was proper for him to embrace truth and life. And what is that? That's Torah. V'cheini dobig bo devek b'chayim ke'amro uvocharta b'chayim. V'chol ha-dovak bo, I'm sorry, dovak b'chayim. Whoever clings to Torah clings to life. Because it says uvocharta b'chayim. The Omer, Avatem Advegem Bashem Lokechem Chayim Kulchem Ayom. So he's trying to say, what does it mean? Aval hashar lo hayu ru'uyim lekabel es haTorah. But the other avos, he means, right? They were not ru'uyim lekabel es haTorah.
We had with Avram had also Yishmael, and Yitzchak had Esav. So I mean, one stayed on the path, one stayed off.
That's right.
In each instance,
that's
even
right.
Though Yishmael did eventually tshuva, but every one of Yaakov's children stayed on
that's
the path.
Right. So he's saying ki ilu nifridu minachayim. It's an amazing thing. Ki ilu nifridu minachayim. Ukemaymar akosov bikiyotzi bohem. Osi ozvu mikor mayim chayim. They left me the mikor mayim chayim. V'chol nifrad mi mikor hachayim, arehu meis be'emes. So now he's saying that what? That they really are. That Yaakov is considered alive and they are considered dead in a certain sense. Right? That's what he's trying to explain. I mean, is he really saying that Yaakov was greater than Avram and greater than Yitzchak?
Yaakov wasn't even given the Torah.
And Yaakov, it just means that he had children who were all, he didn't have any child who had a psolus, so, I mean, what's really the, we know that from the psukim, and what is this really adding? So he says, V'ala kavona hazos omar hachocham Yaakov lomes. And with this in mind, the Chacham said Yaakov didn't die. V'lo omar ha'ovos lo mesu. He didn't say the ovos didn't die. Ki miktas zaram mesu. Some of their children did die. V'hu, meaning Yishmael and Esa, v'hu ha'meyed ki lo hoya, and listen to this, ki lo hoya koach toldosam chai below shum hefsid. Ki od nimshach bom meutav shel meitav shel nochash.
Interesting.
And he's made that what? Ki lo haya koach toldosam chai below shum hefsid. They did not have the koach of procreation of their progeny that had life without any type of a loss. They still had a little bit of something left over from the nochosh.
Referencing another chazal?
By
Sinai. The Zuama, the nochosh.
Right, until Sinai.
Yeah.
V'omru ma zaro lo meis, afu lo meis. Loma. Shehazera meyid al hashorash. Now he's saying what it means. It means to say that the seed is meyid, testifies about the root. Shelohaya bikoach told doso shum hefsid opsolos. He did not have in his potential for creating generations in his potential for progeny. He didn't have any lack or solace. She'ilu mesu kitzas ha'anofim. If some of the branches die, yira be'emes ki haya b'shoresh shum hefsid. That shows, that's a proof. There was something in the root that was no good. She'mimenu nimshach le'anofim ha'hem. I say ben mezake av, right? The Alkain Zera Yaakov Shenivchar Kulo Meir Al Hashoresh Shalo Hoya Bo Shum Hefsad. Amazing.
So this could you opine though because Machus Yisrael.
Okay. The Alkain Zera Yaakov Shenivchar Kulo Meir Al Hashoresh Shalo Hoya Bo Shum Hefsad. But that doesn't mean the children now are going to come out with the same Shoresh for their children.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Kulo zera emes kulam chayim. V'kulo zera emes kulam chayim. All right, let's just try to piece it together for a minute. There's a lot going on here. But he's definitively saying that Yaakov had a superiority over Avram and Yitzchak. And I don't care how great Avram and Yitzchak were. Yishmael and Esav testify that there was something lacking in them. Amazing. So just in terms of the drasha, I just like to get the drasha straight. So how is he learning it? What does it mean that Yaakov didn't die? Right? What does it mean that Yaakov didn't die? So it means to say, b'derech moshel. What does it mean, b'derech moshel? It means, b'derech moshel, that he completely, as an individual, he completely was roi for Torah. Now, his life, his complete essence as an individual embraced Torah, meaning to say that he was completely dovak b'chayim. He had no. In other words, saying once.
No room for perfection.
For more perfection, you mean?
Yeah, I'm
saying.
I'm just
trying to get in the derech of moshel, though. In the language of the moshel, what is he saying? That he didn't die. It means to say that all of him was completely involved in true, complete life. In other words, like this. I just want to get the derech moshel right. Okay? It means to say like this. If somebody had lived a life that was not completely involved in Torah, for instance. And we don't mean literally in Torah, obviously, right? So then you can say about that part of him, that part just lived and died like an ordinary existence, because it never engaged true life. Let's say a person had a certain amount of perfection. He gained a certain amount he lived a certain amount in reality. So you could say, so he's trying to say in Derech Moshel that means true life. That's really when a person lives, you know, but uvacharta b'chayim, temaz vekem b'Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kol chamayom. So that means that to the degree that he is embracing reality and embracing God, then his life is a true life. Okay. But to the degree that he's not, now that true life is not subject to the idea of death. That's where you have to go with this, right? So if a person had a life that he was 90%, okay, 50% involved in truth, and 50% he was involved in nonsense. So you can't say about him that he didn't die, because there was a part of him that was never really engaged in ultimate life, and that part of him was just mortal, was just really completely, you know, living in a in the sense like a regular physical existence. There was a part of him that wasn't elevated to a completely, I don't like to use the term, but I'll just use the term anyway, ruchnius kind of an existence, right? Just because the Ram says we don't really have a ruchnius existence in this world. But exactly. In other words, to the degree that a person is not completely engaged in the ultimate reality, he has a temporal existence. To the degree that he's not seeing the reality that's lamala, that's above the reality of the physical, to the degree that he's living here, so to speak, he dies. Right? So he's saying, what does it mean that Yaakov never died? It means that all of his life, every aspect and every element of his existence was really part of a true existence, was really part of a more sublime existence, and partook of a reality completely above the reality of the physical. And therefore he never lived in this world in that sense. And that's what it means, he didn't die. But anybody else who's not completely engaged or roi to be engaged in Torah, meaning to say, whose existence is not completely above the mundane, then to that degree he lives like a temporal being, like John is saying, and dies. So he's saying now, what is he telling us? He's telling us that we see from the fact that Yaakov, now how can we go back and look and judge who was living to what degree in perfection and who wasn't? How are we able to sit in judgment over Avram and Yitzchak? Right. So he's saying there's an idea that the Zera is Meyed on the Sharish. And he's telling you that from the fact that Avram had Yishmael and the fact that Yitzchak had Esav, that's a raya that there was some element in their life, some element in their personality or in their existence that was not completely refined, in his terminology. And only Yaakov was on that level. So what does it mean, though, that there was this idea? What is this idea that for Yitzchak, I mean, Avram was, he was a 50-50 over there. Yitzchak was batting 50, and Yaakov was batting 1,000, 100, whatever you want to say. Yeah. I mean, was Yitzchak the product of, how is it possible? Yitzchak's the product of Avram and you have two. I mean, you say it comes from the father, so it's such greatness and such depravity from the same person. It doesn't make sense.
He's at least 75%.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously there's a lot of conjecture. You know, I mean, there's not much other than conjecture that we can engage in over here. But what would you say over here? What does it mean? He gives that idea like there was some Yetzirah left in him from the Nochash. So what does that mean? I mean, can we just look at their lives and say, what is it about Avram? What is it about Yitzchak? What is it about Yaakov? I mean, really, I know it's simplistic, but armchair philosophy over here. But what do you say? Can we say something? At least get started, even if it's wrong, get started on something.
Well, one of the things I noticed is that because...
But what about Danny's question? Your question was, sometimes a kid is different. I mean,
yeah.
they're different kids. I mean, it seemed like Asa was a losing battle. I mean, right? It seemed like... But I would say like this. I would say like this, that, no, it's true, different children have different personalities and different tendencies. But that just means some kids need more than other kids. Some kids are harder to find the right solutions to. And apparently he's implying that there was something lacking in Avram that didn't that made it difficult for him to really address all the needs that the Yishmael had. And if he were perfected like the degree of Yaakov, he would have been able to work it out. Although it's funny because Yaakov is like the paradigm of the bad father, isn't he? The Olam Al Yishana Adav Banav, Banav Mi Banav. It's also funny. I was thinking is that what you say that he criticized Yaakov was blamed for that whole event because of the Kisonas Apansim. And they say you should never favor one child over another child. And then Yosef brings his two kids to Yaakov, and he starts again with the favoritism. But apparently that was different.
Different issues in terms of
different
whether
issues.
Or not he was the best.
So let me just give you a general description. Let's take it in a very generally descriptive way. We could say that what he's talking about over here is, obviously, it's hard to say that Avram lacked in some metaphysical perfections. I mean, it's hard to say that in terms of his knowledge and his ideas, he was lacking. Mogin Avram, I mean, he's the chosim with him. I mean, it's hard to say. As a matter of fact, we say we did it a couple weeks ago. We don't. There's no malchus in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. So we say no, because we say Elokei Avraham.
Right.
That's malchios.
Eisano Shalolam.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It's impossible to say that that in terms of perfection. With regard to his knowledge and his ideas, he was lacking. But apparently, there's a different issue at play over here, and that is the nochash, the emotional, some emotional element of the self, that some remnant. Apparently, Avram was raised in a certain way. So he had, of course, he overcame tremendous, hurdles of undoing things that he had done in the past. I mean, what Avram said, he used to go to the Avodah Zarah and everything. I mean, but apparently Chazal is saying it was impossible for him to remove all of that baggage, so to speak, and it was impossible for him, or at least he didn't have the opportunity to completely remove all of the even emotional reactions that are embedded from early youth that are based on false premises. Of course, consciously and knowledge wise, he had the true ideas, but the way he reacted to Yishmael was still based a little bit on earlier groundwork that had been laid. I mean, I'm very hesitant to say anything against Avram, of course. But Yitzchak, on the other hand, was Tzadik ben Tzadik. I mean, look, we say Tzadik, there's a difference between the Tzadik ben Rasha and Tzadik ben Tzadik. What does that mean? It means to say, There's certain things that are instilled and formed in early childhood that just become part of your nature, and you can always fight them, but it's fighting them. But Yitzchak shouldn't have had that problem. He was a tzaddik ben tzaddik. I mean, what do we say? His tefillah, Rivka and Yitzchak. That's the famous Rashi. Everybody learns. So what was he lacking? What was he lacking? Apparently, Yitzchak was lacking what Yaakov had. He was lacking experience. I mean, Yitzchak really led a very sheltered type of a life. I mean, aside for the traumatic events, but he didn't. He wasn't really osek
in the regular world.
Yaakov, until Yaakov, he didn't have the situation of the tzaddik ben tzaddik that really saw the ramos of the average person and really was nosev and nosein with a rasha and learned there's a certain amount of internal. I think there's two sources over here of that create difficulties. One is, like we mentioned, by Avram, from things maybe that you're taught when you're younger. But the other than that, and that obviously Yitzchak did not have, but there are internal feelings that you don't have to be taught, unless you are put into conflicts with other people and have the chance to really bring those out and observe yourself in these situations, you don't have the opportunity to really work on them directly. They sort of lie there, and they don't present themselves enough to really demand a full accounting and a full regimen of change. There's a certain amount of, look, it's like if a guy was on it, like the Ram says, if a guy's on a desert island, there's certain midos that he doesn't have to perfect.
So would you say
they just don't come up.
That we can sort of credit Lavan.
He says in the beginning, I'll come to you as a, I'll deal with Lavan either, you know, like a Ramoy or like, you know, depending on how he deals with, how he treats me. And Yaakov had that, but the point I make is that until a person is put in certain situations, sometimes he doesn't even realize what is lying beneath.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he'll engage, you know, certain situations in a way that feels natural. And he doesn't necessarily understand there's a deeper source, because he's only seeing a very slight expression of it. And until it's brought out into full relief, do you realize, only then do you realize what its true source is. Only then do you realize, you know, the deeper implications of it. And that really requires the experience of being tested and being put in those situations like Yaakov was. So that's maybe what Chazal is saying, that in order to reach the full perfection, you need two things. You need to be raised with the proper values, but then you also need to experience your own inner world, and that's only through shimush, through practical applications of it, and testing yourself through it, and succeeding and failing, and all these types of things that only Yaakov really went through. And I'm sure he learned from Ksanas Apasim, and he didn't repeat it by the Bonim. He knew like David saying that Yosef's children would be able to understand it, and it wasn't really it was more a statement of knowledge to them. And you see that Yaakov really understood all the different personalities of his children, right? That's what my father explains, the brachos. The brachos were really, he understood all the different personality types. The person who's, we say Yaakov is ish tam, but he doesn't mean naive. He was far from naive. But sometimes you have that. A person is cloistered, he's, you know, what they call in the ivory towers today, mm-hmm. you know. So until you get your hands dirty in the real world, you don't sometimes, you're not aware of all the different ways that people think. And all of those things really help you to see in yourself, reflections into yourself of deeper trends that don't come from the way you were raised. They're just innate in man's own inner conflicts. So maybe that's what Chazal was saying, that until Yaakov, you didn't have an individual who was able on all levels to really work out a true Chesbon HaNefesh. He didn't start out with the things that Avram started out with, and he led a life that really forced him to analyze every emotion that he had. And that's why he was capable of having the... But of course, it doesn't mean his sons are going to do the same thing. But he himself, as an individual, had all of that. Yeah, right, I mean, that's the seven filters, the seven smeltings, what do they call that? That's an interesting thing, to figure out, to see what it was. I think the Kuzari has something else like that. It was only, they each only had one. There was only one child that was really, I think he learns that only those individuals lived that long life. That they were the unique children of their father until Yaakov. Yeah. Okay. No. So the point is that the point is that they were not fully equipped to deal with the. Like Yitzchak, Yaakov would have sensed already that an Esav was fooling him. Because he had that knowledge. I mean, Yitzchak didn't. Yitzchak was. There was a certain type of a child that could slip between the cracks of Yitzchak's, you know, view, and that was Esav, but that went to happen to. It doesn't mean Chas v'Shalom that Yitzchak had an imperfection of Esav, but given Esav's nature, he required a complete. He required something to keep him off of that path that his nature that he was predisposed to. And if Yitzchak would have had a certain degree of perfection more in this in that area, he would have been able to head him off.
It just seems too far what you're saying, though. Because
first of all, I'm not saying it.
He's saying it.
What's too far?
Because I mean, again, I don't generally go to this, but it sounds like Hashgacha, Avram's going to have a Yitzhak and Yishmael. I mean, Avram knew Yishmael. I mean, clearly they had the whole story with Hagar. He knew something about Yishmael. I mean,
they're not fatalists. All of us were not fatalists. They didn't say, well, the stars, it's in the stars that I mean, Yishmael has to go off and become.
No, Yishmael did absolute tshuva. I mean, you never found a Rav Esav anywhere in the Gemara, but
that's
you do
true.
Find Rav Yishmael.
That's
obviously
true.
He was not looked upon with disdain. The guy
that's
did
true.
Tshuva.
No, that is true. That name fell out of use, but
it wasn't it fell out of use for other reasons.
Right.
But it wasn't disdained because of him.
No, it's true. Chazal say because it says by the Kvura that he let Yitzchak first, but not Esav. I was just looking at that Gemara this morning. Esav tried to stop Yaakov
mm-hmm.
from being buried in the Maris HaMachpelah. Right.
Yeah.
But no, the point is like this though that. We don't have this idea that Esav had no bechira. There's nowhere. I mean, Paro is the only case we know. No one says that Esav had no bechira. What could the nevuah? How could the nevuah have been fulfilled if Esav would have been a tzaddik? That's a good question.
Huh? I
understand
what you just said.
I
mean,
what nevuah? All of that. How could that have nevuah? What would that have been? How would
that
have been?
Whatever you thought the brachos were.
Whatever Yitzchak thought, right. I don't know. It'd be an interesting world what that would be like. I mean, the Ron, is a drush of the Ron. He tries to work out something with this problem. I don't fully understand where he's going with this, but tries to work out, like, you know, what the intrinsic relationship between Yaakov and Esav is. He has an interesting theory of the grabbing onto the heel. And he wants to say whenever there's a simon, it means that it has to be true. Like sometimes you have a nevuah and we say, well, it could be changed. You know, if people change. He wants to say when he has this theory there that whenever there's some sort of a nevuah like she had, with a physical simon that goes along with it, that's like means it never can be changed. So there's always an intrinsic tie between Yitzchak, between Yaakov and Esav, and that was demonstrated in the way they were born. But it doesn't mean that he has to be a tzaddik and he has to be a rasha. So what let him fall through and become that way? Some lack in Yitzchak. Do you think that Yitzchak didn't raise Esav?
Sure he did.
So do you think there's nothing he could have done to raise him differently?
Well, I guess in retrospect, yeah, I guess he would have.
So he's saying there was some lack. There had to have been some lack.
I guess what's bothering me about is the premise is that